number 36. And we'll read on down through verse number 50 as it is in our Scofield Bible. It's divided up into two different things, but it is a continuation. The last part, verse 41 through 50, is a continuation of what we read here in verse number 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom forgave most." And he said unto him, "That thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And she said, and he said unto her, "Thy sins be forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." It hadn't been too long ago that we had a message on Simon the leper. And there we had some of the same scenarios, some of the same thoughts that are given in that particular passage as we found what Jesus found at Simon the leper's house. Tonight I want us to see what we find at Simon the Pharisee's house, and it is a vast difference. And we read these verses tonight, we know that they are similar to what we read in John and also in Matthew and Mark. But this is a different occurrence. This is a different time and a totally different place. And John's account is right before the Passover, as with Mark and Matthew, and they're in Bethany. But when we come to Luke chapter number 7, we find it is similar, but it yet is Simon the Pharisee's home. And this was a year before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so time frame is far different. Places are different, just similar as to what took place and what might happen. These women both had ointment to place upon the Lord's body there in Bethany. Mary of Bethany anointed the Lord's body to the crucifixion for the burial. This lady here in Luke, she just anointed the feet of the Lord because of the knowledge of who he was and the desire that she had in her heart to have the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to look tonight and we'll see some things about what we find in Simon the Pharisee's house. You know, from the very onset, when it is described to us here by Luke, and he calls him a Pharisee immediately, we know that he's not a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were enemies of the Lord from the time of his ministry, beginning there on the banks of the Jordan River as John baptized him and Jesus went forth preaching the kingdom and preaching the gospel. The Pharisees were always in opposition to the Lord. And so when we read this tonight that one of the Pharisees desire him that he would eat with him, we immediately think probably there's an alternative motive in that. And always the Pharisees were always trying to get the Lord tricked and trying to get him to do things and say things that was not right. And so the Lord goes and he sees, and there are some things here that I believe we can look at and see what type of individual this particular man was. He certainly was not a friend of this woman. We'll develop that a little bit later. But Jesus found there's no common courtesy with this man. He asked the Lord in, but yet he despised the woman being there because of what she was. You'll notice that I'm sure the Lord, and we can see here a great contrast between the Pharisee and the woman that is called a sinner. And by the way, the Pharisee was a sinner also. His problem was he was a religious sinner. He had that Pharisaical attitude. He had everything in his heart that everything was good because of who he was and what he was. And so the Lord comes in and he sees a difference in himself and this Pharisee. You see that Simon, he focused. Notice verse number 39. It says here, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Here we see the plot, I believe, is told us in this particular verse. It says, puts the question mark there, if he was a prophet. And so he asked the Lord into his home, but his plot was to make sure that Jesus was shown to be false and shown to be not who he said he was. And now this man, Simon the Pharisee, he focuses on her sin or on her faults. I'll tell you what, that's what a lot of people do in our age in which we live. They always focus on the faults that we have or the sins that we have, never seeing their own. And that was the problem of the Pharisee. In Matthew, I believe it's chapter 23, the Lord talks about the Pharisees. He calls them scribes and Pharisees, and he puts a word out there beside it that's a deadening word, and he calls them hypocrites. He says, you clean up the outside, but on the inside still is dirty. And so they wanted to look good. They wanted everybody to think they were well, but the inside of their life, the inside of their heart was still wicked. And so this man, he focused on her faults and probably tried to focus on his good deeds and his good things that he did. And he said, if this man was a prophet, well, those around him knew he was a prophet that were true to the Lord. So if this man's a prophet, he would know. Well, I got news for you. He knew who was touching him. He knew all about her. And just as he focused on her sins and on her faults, Jesus focused on her faith. And we're going to deal with faith here just in a little bit. But the Lord focused on what she had in her heart, and this man focused on what he saw in her life. And I'll tell you what, our lives usually do not show exactly what's in our heart. And so we find here that this Pharisee that has asked the Lord to come in and have a meal with him, he has a motive behind that is not good, not as it should be. And he uses this woman to bring out his own doubt. If he is a prophet, then he would have known who. And then I can just hear the attitude of the voice and what manner of woman she is. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what her sin was. The Bible doesn't tell us what her problem was. But we know for sure that we're all sinners. And so, therefore, I fit that category just like she did. And thank God one day I came to the Lord and he knew where I was. And he knew the sin in my life. He knew what I had to have done, just like he knew for this woman. And so here the Lord comes into this house and he sees the the ploy or the plot of this this Pharisee, and he begins to tear it open and to break it down. Now notice in verse number 37 and 38, we find that the Lord sees a person here, and she has a public profession, even before she's saved, not a profession of salvation, but a profession of knowing and accepting some things about the Lord that that Pharisee would not accept. Notice in verse number 37, "And behold, a woman in the city," and it's very clear here which was a sinner. She was a woman known of the city. She was a woman known to be a sinner in the city. "And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." Now, similarity of the other that we read back in John and Matthew and Luke, she also had an alabaster box. Alabaster was a hard stone in Israel, and it could be carved out and to make a sort of a like a box, and they'd put a top on it, and usually that alabaster box was used to store very precious ointment or perfume, and much of the time they would seal that box with a wax so that the perfume would stay with its odor, the ointment would stay fresh and pure. And then when the Bible says they break the alabaster box, and the other passage of Scripture said the whole room was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And so this was a box that they used to carry precious things. So she has an alabaster box. She has that box that is used for special occasions and special things. And she breaks it open, whether she breaks the box or she, the other passage says she break the box, either break it open or break it in two, whatever the way it was, if they broke the seal or whatever, then the ointment, it was used to anoint the Lord's body. And the Scripture says in the other passage that's different than this one, that she anointed his body to the burial. It was just a few days now before the Lord was going to be crucified. But here in this passage, it's a whole year or more before the Lord is going to be crucified. She does not anoint his body for burial. She anoints his body for worship, and she is worshiping him. The Bible says here in verse 37, or verse 30, number 38, she stood at his feet behind him, and then says, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. So here we find a woman that stood behind the Lord, and she is so broken that she literally soaks his feet with her tears. And then her hair is used to wipe the tears. And she was a sinner. She was a sinner known in the city. She was a lady that this Pharisee didn't want to have anything to do with and didn't want her to be in his house or around him. And so she comes in and she stoops down. She stands behind him. She soaks his feet with the tears and she kisses and anoints his feet in a worshipful attitude. Here we find pretty good profession of what's going on in her heart. Now the Lord later on gives her some instruction. But you find here the Pharisee that has a plot. You find the woman here that has a profession. And she comes and loves the Lord and realizes when she heard that Jesus was in the house. She had already heard about the Lord. She had already had some instruction about who Jesus was. And wherever he was and she could get there, she was going to go and she was going to worship the Lord. And so she was a person that was publicly recognizing who the Lord was. And it didn't matter what the Pharisee thought. It didn't matter what the Pharisee said. She was going to do what she had in her heart to do. And Jesus sees this in this Pharisee's house. We see that in their house. The Pharisees are hypocrites, like all the Pharisees are in the scripture. He didn't show her hospitality. He didn't invite her. He didn't want her. He focuses on her faults. And Jesus finds a pulpit that he can preach the gospel. And he does that because of this woman that comes to him. And so here we find the Pharisee, and we have this person, this woman, that is a sinner. She's no different than the Pharisee, other than in his own mind. Now let's notice, thirdly, we find not only the Pharisee, not only this person with a profession, but we find a preacher with some reproof. I like this part of it. The Lord Jesus Christ becomes the preacher. He becomes the one that it takes over the conversation. Now notice in verse 39. Here the Lord has already had this lady worshiping him. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, when the Pharisee that had asked him in, when he saw what had taken place, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Here we find the Lord, this man has a secret in his heart. The key to verse number 39 is that he spake within himself. You know, we do that all the time. We're thinking. Nobody hears us. Nobody knows what we're thinking. We're just, have you ever carried on a conversation with yourself and never say a word anybody could hear you? Sure. Well, that's what this man was doing. Here he is, has set himself up as some great individual, and he says, "This woman, if Jesus knew who she was, he wouldn't let her do that. She's a sinner." And he's saying all those things in his mind. And the Lord knows our thoughts. He didn't have to say it out loud. Notice what Jesus does and in verse 40. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee." Wow. "Simon, I need to talk to you a minute." Now, Simon doesn't know. He doesn't know the Lord knows his thoughts. Simon's sitting there, setting himself up as judge over this woman. Simon is really becoming what he is known as. He is now becoming a full-fledged Pharisee. He has set himself up as greater than that woman. He really has set himself up greater than Jesus Christ. Because he says, if he knew who she was, I know who she is. I wouldn't let her do that to me. If he knew that, he wouldn't let her wash his feet. He wouldn't let her anoint him. He wouldn't let her weep tears over him. She's just a sinner. This is all going on in the mind of Simon the Pharisee. And Jesus says, "I have somewhat to say to thee." I can just imagine the tone of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "I have somewhat to say to thee." I can just hear the voice of the Pharisee. You notice what he says? "Master, say on." Master, really what he's saying is, "Lord, you're over me. Master, you just say what you want to say." He probably wished he hadn't said that. He probably wished he hadn't recognized the Lord as master, because now the Lord takes over master. He takes over the floor. He takes over. Here the woman, now she's sort of in the background. She's worshiped the Lord and she's wept. She's cried. She's dried his feet. She's anointed him. She's done all those good things. And Simon looks down upon it and he said, if he was a prophet. Well, before the Lord got done, he knew that Jesus was different than any man he'd ever met. And he says, "I have somewhat to say to thee, Master, say on." I'm sort of the opinion that this Pharisee sort of thought the Lord was going to give him some good things, say some good things about who he was and what he was. And so he says, "Master, say on." But what he heard wasn't what he expected to hear. Notice the scathing preacher that Jesus can be. And he gives him a parable. The Lord loved parables. He spake many times in parables. Parable is like an illustration. And so the Lord says, "Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee." "Master, say on." Now here's the words of the Lord. "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. They are both debtors. One was maybe a little greater than the other as far as value. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said to him, "Thou hast rightly judged." What he's done, he's judged himself. And he turned to the woman. Now, the Lord is preaching to Simon. He gives him an illustration. There's two people that owe money. One owes a lot, one owes little, but they both are debtors. And when they could not pay their debt, the creditor said, "I forgive you." And he said, "Now which one of them would love him the most?" And he said, "Well, the one that you forgave most, more than likely, I suppose." And so he turns now his attention away from Simon, and he turns it to the woman that had the most known sin. Notice what the Lord says to her. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman?" Well, he knew he'd seen her. He'd already knew his mind. "I entered into thy house, and here's what you did, or here's what you did not do. I entered into thy house, and thou gave me no water for my feet." That was a common practice during the day that of Jesus and the disciples. They would walk the hot, dusty roads with their sandals, and when you went into someone's house, most of the time, there was a place there you could refresh your feet. Sometimes even the people of the house would wash the feet of those that would come in. He said, "I came into your house because you asked me, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You invited me and you did nothing, but look what she's done." Verse number 45, "Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet." Again, tradition of that day, when you would go into a house, the people would put a kiss on the cheek of the individual. And she doesn't do that. She's not the head of the house. She's not of that house. And Jesus said, "You didn't give me any water for my feet. You didn't give me the kiss of greeting." We have a handshake. They had a greeting kiss. Very common. That was their practice. And he said, "You didn't do that, but she has, this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet." Which one of you is the worst? He's already answering his own question. He said, "My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman that's the sinner, this woman that you have said in your mind, if I knew who she was, I wouldn't have anything to do with her." See, Simon probably still doesn't know what the Lord knows. He has thought that, and Jesus is answering everything. And he said, "You gave no water. You gave no kiss. My head you did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Again, that was a tradition. Wherefore I say unto thee, I have somewhat to say to you. Which one of you is worse sinner? Which one's going to love me the most? Which one has showed me already the most love? Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Simon, she's done all that she could do. She loved me. And she's a sinner. Jesus let him know that he knew who she was. If you knew who she was. Well, Simon, let me tell you. I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. Boy, those next two words, how wonderful they are forgiven. You know, you can put your name there if you're a Christian. Our sins, which are many, are forgiven. It's not because of who we are or what kind of house that we might could invite the Lord in. It's the attitude of our heart. The Pharisee had no heart. He only had law and black and white. He had no compassion. And he thought, I've heard of this Jesus. I've invited him in here. He's not a prophet. If he were a prophet, he wouldn't let that woman do all those things to his feet. Why, she's a sinner. And Jesus said, she's a sinner. She has many sins. And he says, they are forgiven. Praise the Lord tonight. Salvation is simply because we have been forgiven. So Jesus becomes a preacher with reproof. He reproves this Pharisee's unloving heart. He reproves this man that looks down his self-righteousness at this woman that is a far greater sinner in his eyes than he is. And Jesus reproves him, corrects him, instructs him, and I don't think he enjoyed what he heard. Master, say on. Have you ever said someone, say, well, you go ahead and tell me, and then you wish they hadn't told you? I sort of think that's his attitude right now. Why in the world did I say, talk to me? Why did I say on? Because the Lord told him exactly. He gave him the parable, heavenly story, earthly meaning. That's what a parable is. Creditor. Oh, my goodness, all of us are debtors, aren't we? All of us are great sinners. And so here we find in Jesus now, in verse 48 through 50, the rest of the story here, he becomes a preacher with praise. He doesn't praise the Pharisee. He doesn't praise that man that thinks he's better than anybody else. He praises this woman. He said unto her, verse 48, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves. There again, they're talking to their inside their self. I've got a feeling it's sort of quiet Simon's house about right now. I'm sort of thinking nobody's talking too much because they don't want the Lord to know what they're saying. So they say it inside, and the Lord still knows. And they sat at meat with him, began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Who is he? Jesus answers them with verse number 50. He said to the woman, he doesn't even recognize those at the table. He says unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Here we find Jesus becomes the preacher with praise. Sins have been forgiven in verse number 48. Verse number 49 shows us that sorry crowd sitting at the table saying, who is he? Who does he think he is that he can forgive sins? And Jesus turns to the woman, and this woman, he says, she's saved. I'd rather be that woman as those people. I'd rather be in her position than their position. Oh, she's a bad sinner. I'll tell you what, the Lord didn't say nothing about those Pharisees getting saved. He didn't say anything about their sins being forgiven. He didn't say anything about them living and doing. He just turns to the woman, says to her, "Thy faith hath saved thee." I'll tell you what, Jesus always recognizes faith. I looked up this afternoon some verses. I'm just going to read them to you real quickly. Some things about what Jesus said about faith to individuals. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 22 says, Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. She had a physical disease, and she was made whole. How? Because of her faith. Matthew 15:28, Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Daughter was sick. Jesus said, "Great faith." Mark chapter 5, verse 34. "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Mark 10:52. "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Immediately. Luke chapter 7, verse 50 is where we read. Luke chapter 8, verse 48. "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Luke 17:19. "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Luke 18:42. Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." Luke chapter 7, verse 9. I love this verse here. "And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Here's this man that says he has a servant that's sick. Jesus is going to his house to perform the miracle. He said, "You don't have to come into my I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. You can take care of it here." And Jesus said, "I've not seen so great faith in all of Israel than that man." If you want the Lord's attention, if I want the Lord's attention, then we must exercise faith. "For the just shall live by faith." The whole book, the whole Bible that we hold tonight is a book that is delivered to us because of faith. To give us faith that we can transfer it to other folks, that they might receive faith, that they might be saved, that they might know the Lord, that they do the same thing we do down the road, that people might receive the faith in the Son of God. So this man, Simon the Pharisee, he invited the Lord in because he thought that's probably a pretty popular thing to do. You can read verses around it, and the Lord's got his crowd following him. He's got his ministry. So he wants to be on the forefront, so he invites Jesus in. When it's all said and done, I really think this Simon the Pharisee said, "I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad he's not in my house anymore." You know, that's what a lot of people say. "I'm glad he's not around anymore. I don't want this Bible stuff in my house." What does Jesus find in our house? We've looked at three or four different ones. Job's house, the widow's house, the leper's house, and now the Pharisee's house. There's always things that we can see in the house. Thank God this woman had faith, and the Lord said, "Thy sins are forgiven." One day I exercised faith. You know what happened? My sins were forgiven. You exercise faith, you know what happened? Your sins were forgiven. Just like this woman, great sinner. And that's why we love him so much, because of what he's done for us. Let's stand together tonight.